Gospel reading is Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. Dr. David Loos, who's the pastor of Mount Olivet Lutheran Church in Minneapolis, said there were two kinds of courage, or he had gathered two kinds of courage that someone would act out on. The first kind of courage is the kind that you show when in the moment, in a moment of crisis, you are there to jump in and show courage and do something about it. So this is the image of the viral video that you see on Facebook where someone jumps into a raging river to save a puppy. That may not be something I would do, but I'm thankful for those that would. And I love puppies, by the way. It may be the kind that you might imagine, for instance, for members of our military, or fire and rescue workers, or law enforcement officers, who are able in a moment to jump into a situation that is often dangerous or a major obstacle to do their job. And there also will, by the way, be a part of the next courage as well that we talk about. But that first kind of courage is almost an impulsive type courage. Yes, it does have to do with your character. It's probably something in you. But it's the kind of person who jumps right into danger in a moment's notice and shows courage, whatever that may be, and you think you know what I'm talking about. The second kind of courage, which once again isn't totally divorced from the first kind, but it's more of a long-standing courage. The advancement, or the knowing of advancing obstacles that are coming your way, or accepting challenges and responsibilities that one could avoid, even seeing them coming from a mile away. It would be like, for instance, if your basketball team lost to the basketball team that most of your church cheers for, and still coming to church that day, that's a kind of courage, okay? Or it would be like if your team lost then to another team called Duke, and you still came knowing that there'd be some people who were going to say something to you about it. That's courage. But I think also military, law enforcement, fire and rescue would fall into that category as well, because they enter those kind of callings or charges knowing that there will be major obstacles and dangers along the way. You don't enter those professions without knowing that you're going to be placed in some pretty dangerous situations where your life may be put at stake, maybe once, maybe multiple times throughout your career. So that's a long-standing kind of courage, knowing that something is coming, and yet you enter into it and face it no matter what. I know there are probably some of us in this room who are encouraged or who act inclined to act in the moment to show that kind of courage. But I think about the challenge of knowing that obstacles lie ahead and dangers lay ahead, and still going forth with that calling. Instead of avoiding or finding shortcuts to get around the potential obstacles that are coming our way, we face that calling head on. You press on knowing that danger is on the road. And in many ways, I think that's what the Christian life is about, isn't it? Yes, there are some Christians who become followers of Christ and know that their lives will be at stake for doing so. We know that there are millions of Christians like this around the world. That may not be as much of a reality to us in the United States, but we know it's true. And at the very least, we know that even here in the United States, by following Christ, we are putting many things at risk. We know that if we truly follow Christ and work for the kingdom, we know that things such as our reputation or our bank account or other things might be put in jeopardy because we are following the ways of the kingdom. We know those are coming in our lives, and yet we still press on. And in many ways, that's what the Lenten season is about. It's a concentrated time as we look towards the cross in just a few weeks where we will talk about the crucifixion. Lent is a concentrated time to be reminded of the obstacles we face, the sin, the death in our lives that are inevitably coming towards us, whether it is today or 90 years from now. Lent is about being reminded that as Christians, our end time is coming, whether we like it or not. And yet we press on, for we know that God is with us. That's what today's passage is about. As we talk about God on the move, we remember that Jesus moves past all obstacles to fulfill his calling. I forgot this passage existed. I know, surprised. The pastor doesn't know every verse in the Bible right off the top of his head. But I had forgotten this passage existed because not a lot goes on in the passage. It's just kind of Jesus giving some of his thoughts on the situation. I like passages where Jesus goes to heal someone, or Jesus gives it to the Pharisees. But Jesus kind of shares his thoughts about where he's going and the people around him in this passage. It actually starts out on a fairly strange note because the Pharisees say, "You need to get away because Herod is looking to kill you." What stranger passage than to open up with the Pharisees looking out for Jesus? I mean, really, we get the idea that the Pharisees are always looking for something bad about Jesus, always looking to trap him or do something wrong to him, but the Pharisees aren't always the bad guys. In this passage, we have no reason to believe that what the Pharisees said wasn't true. And they were saying, "Jesus, Herod is going to find a way to kill you. You need to get out." Now we could say, well, the Pharisees weren't fully understanding what Jesus is about, and that part is true. But it's very possible that the Pharisees were genuinely looking out for Jesus' life here. The Pharisees tell Jesus, "Get away, you're going to be killed." But Jesus is committed to moving through the obstacles, including even threats of death. Jesus says, "Okay, well, you go tell that fox, Herod, that I will reach my goal." And he gives some idea of what they can expect coming down the road. Jesus also goes on to say, "You know what's almost as bad?" I think in many ways Jesus is saying, "Yeah, I might be killed. But you know what's even worse is that my followers are going to reject me along the way as well." He's saying those that I'm supposed to be one with, those who I call to follow me, they're going to reject me as well. Those I have come to love, those I have come to save, they will reject me. "I really wish they would see me as a hen who takes them under their wing," Jesus says. "If only," Jesus says, "if only my followers would understand that that's who I am. I am like a mother hen who wishes to take these chicks who are under constant threat from the fox roaming around our world and to take them under my wing." So Jesus, I think, is sad in this passage. Maybe a little less sad about what Herod is threatening to do and more sad about those who would reject his teachings and who would not seek their salvation from him. These obstacles Jesus faces are laid out before him. They're a risk to his own life. This reality that he would be rejected certainly gets at Jesus' core. And yet Jesus remains on a course towards Jerusalem. Jesus remains on a course that will take him to the cross. Jesus remains on a course towards our hearts as well. We may be those who choose to reject Jesus, even Christ followers. At times we choose to reject Jesus with our lifestyle, and yet Jesus remains on course towards our hearts. I think that the two major obstacles that Jesus would face says something to us as well in our Christian walk. I think we're reminded of a couple of realities that we need to be mindful of during this Lenten season, one of which is in the person of Herod. Once again, Jesus says, "You tell that fox, I'm going to reach my goal no matter what." And of course, the fox is a clever, cunning creature. The fox will devise every means to stop Jesus from achieving his goal. And so my question to you is, what are the cunning things in your life that will attempt to stop you from pressing on towards the goal? You see, we like to talk about the big bads that are going to keep us from living a good Christian life, right? We like to look for those big sins in our lives, those big sins that we can point to other people about and say, that's what you got to watch out for. What about the ones that sneak up behind you? What about the fox who comes up and before you know it has derailed your Christian walk? What about the way you speak of others? What about the way that you gossip about others? What about all the stuff and the gadgets that you accumulate over time, and before you know it, the iPhone has become your Lord and Savior? What about the harsh, divisive, polarizing politics of our day? You think you're headed down a path towards righteousness and you're believing and voting the right thing, and before you know it, you've just decided to hate about everyone who doesn't vote like you. That's the fox in my mind. That's the one that sneaks up on us and derails us, that kills our spirit, that kills our Christian walk, at the very least in the eyes of others. So best not to let your guard down so that that fox sneaks in. Maybe that's why the season of Lent is so important, this season of really honing in and focusing in on prayer and growing closer to Christ, keeping Jesus at the center of all we do, as we should do throughout the year. But in this season, as we look towards the cross, maybe it's especially pertinent and important that we give that extra effort to keep Christ at the center of who we are. Maybe the biggest enemy to the Christian is simply indifference, or a ho-hum, lackadaisical Christian walk. Elie Wiesel said, "The opposite of love is not hate." What is it? It's indifference. The opposite of art is not ugliness, it's indifference. The opposite of faith is not heresy, it's indifference. If you are indifferent about your Christian walk, the fox will sneak up on you, and before you know it, you've been thrown off course. Watch for the foxes in your life, but knowing that they'll sneak up on you, it's probably just better to be much more attentive to Christ. Keep Jesus at the center of who you are. That's why this season is so important. But also there's the people rejecting Christ. This is the temptation I think that we faced that we face every day. To reject Christ. Yes, we may have the foxes that come in and derail our walk, but we may be tempted every day as we wake up and as we step out the door to simply say, "Not today, Jesus. I just don't have it in me. Love my enemy. I just don't have it in me." And so we're tempted to reject Jesus when we wake up. And yet those who reject his call on their lives, those who call themselves and reject Jesus at times when we sin, I still think that that's where Jesus steps in and say, how I long to take you under my wing and protect you from the fox and to protect you from yourself. Jesus is there with us every step of the way. We just need to be more aware. I think in this passage, Jesus was very aware of where his path was leading him. We know it from the scripture. Jesus says, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and yet on the third day, I finished my work. Jesus knew what was coming, didn't he? Jesus, as he lamented over Jerusalem, was clear-headed and courageous. Courageous knowing that the obstacles that he would face on his way to the cross would do everything in their power to throw him off course. And yet he was committed. I know some of you are wondering if I was going to mention St. Patrick's Day. There's nothing in the Baptist faith that really asks us to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. So I had a few people ask me why I wasn't wearing green. The answer is I don't have a good green tie that looks good with a black suit. But there's something I do like to be reminded of every St. Patrick's Day, and that is the legendary prayer that was apparently printed on the shield of St. Patrick. Now, some of you are familiar with that prayer, but I think it's one that's important to bring back out every now and again. On this St. Patrick's Day, I want to close this time with a reading of a prayer that was on the breastplate or the shield of St. Patrick. St. Patrick, of course, being the patron saint of Ireland, but I think it speaks to what it means to knowing that there are obstacles on the way, that like Jesus, we will face foxes on our journey, that there will be figures out there who will seek to throw us off our Christian faith every step of the way. Maybe the answer is simply to keep Christ right here with us. We know he's here with us, but for us to be attentive to Christ being right here with us along the way. This is part of the prayer of St. Francis. Would you please bow your heads? Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in the every eye that sees me, Christ in the every ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. Amen.